What's up, Packers fans? Aaron Nagler here with Camille Davis, ready for another installment of Carry the G in MKE. And it's not the finale. Camille, how are you? Watching those Packers extend the season. I know, we're both really excited that we get another week of talking to each other about the green and gold. But I guess there's a little matter of the Packers are in the freaking playoffs, and I can't believe it.
Let's not bury the lead. The Green Bay Packers are in the playoffs during a rebuilding year. With the first-time starting quarterback, the Packers are in the playoffs, put in the same situation the team was in last year where you have a win-and-in game at Lambeau against a divisional rival. And this time, against the Bears, it's even more sweet. Like, it's the Chicago Bears. We've heard them talk so
much. And talk, and talk, and talk. So much talk out of that building.
So much. And now we got a dub to go with all that talk they had. That's all I care about. Give me a dub.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because it was fascinating to see kind of throughout really the entire game, but it was certainly prevalent, more prevalent as the game went on, how the Bears were trying to be the tough guys. They were trying to be the aggressors and playing to the echo of the whistle. And it was funny how it just didn't seem to rattle the Packers at all. And they just kept moving the ball and scoring points. You know what I mean? Like, their defense chirped so much and had so much kind of to say post-play. Again, as the game went on, it seemed more and more prevalent. It never flustered the Packers. And the Packers are the young team, right? They're the ones who are supposed to be easily, you know, gotten inside of. And they didn't rise to any bait. They just kept playing, kept scoring, kept the ball moving down the field. For me, like, obviously there are a million things to take out of that game, but that was notable, again, for a team as young as they are, to basically never rise to the bait. I was pretty damn impressed.
Same here. And I had to laugh because Aaron Jones seemed to end up in the middle of something he didn't want to again.
Yep, again. Saw that.
How does Aaron Jones keep ending up in these?
He's the peacemaker, man. He's just trying to keep people chill.
Peacemaker getting hands to the throat. Like, oh my goodness. But no, I mean, that's a great point about the youth of this team, the youngest team to make the playoffs that we've seen since the NFL's been tracking that. And to be fair to the Chicago, the Bears are young too.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting.
Right.
Yeah, the trajectory of these two franchises. That's why this offseason is going to be so interesting to see what Chicago does. But, I mean, coming into this game, I felt confident the Packers had their quarterback, and I know the Bears were still evaluating their options here, and I just feel even better now as a Packers fan coming out that game where you're like, look what we have. Outside of even Jordan Love, just the skill position. Seeing these young guys stepping up, seeing that, you know, they're not making as many mistakes as they did earlier in the year. Like, it was fantastic just to watch how this team has grown throughout the season, culminating in this game, week 18 in Lambeau, where everything matters, where it's win or go home. And they got to that test, Aaron.
They did.
They passed it.
They did. I mean, with flying colors, really. I mean, the only blemish on the day really is Carlson missing kicks. Yes. You know, it's like, outside of that, like, pretty much everyone rose to the occasion. And it's obviously Jordan Love is the headliner, right? I mean, closing out the season on such a great high note against a really good defense, a defense that had been playing very, very well leading into week 18, and he just tore him apart. I mean, the fact that, to your point, earlier in the season with all of these kind of young guys around him, we definitely experienced a lot of trials and tribulations, a lot of frustrations, but last night, how many times did we see Jordan Love get out of phase, right? Out of the rhythm of the play, like whether it was coverage being locked down or the rush starting to get to him. So many times he got off schedule and still made big plays, whether it was the third down to Tucker Kraft at the end to basically seal the game or the big 59-yarder to Jaden Reed where Matt LaFleur says that he's not even in the progression there. Like, he's an afterthought on the progression, and Love finds him and it turns into an almost 60-yard gain. I mean, that was just kind of the statement of the evening where it doesn't matter what you're going to throw at Jordan Love. He's got the answers, or he's got the ability to find the answers. And man, yeah, if you're juxtaposing that as a Bears fan, you got it. There was a former Bears player on one of their local television shows saying, like, I want one of those. Like, it's got to be. And the thing that he brought up that I had heard, I've thought about before and heard people mention it, but I had kind of forgotten about it until he said it, was, yeah, down years in Green Bay are 500.
Yep.
Down years in Chicago are first overall pick. And that's the difference in the franchises right now. And it couldn't be more stark than it was yesterday at Lambeau. Like, no
and
doubt.
I love it. I love it. Again, I was born in the late 80s. So I grew up pretty much only knowing Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers as my quarterbacks. I've only known the Packers to be the big brothers of the Chicago Bears. Like, since 92, I believe the Packers are 50-15 against the Chicago Bears. And, like, we've won 10 straight against the Bears now at this point. It's – as sometimes I feel bad, like, dang, I shouldn't even talk about Chicago Bears fans. Then I hear them, and I'm like, no.
Yes. Nope. They got everything coming to them.
Catch this, because all you heard coming into this game was our defense is so much improved. And hey, listen, their defense was better. Like earlier in the season, they were giving up like 30 points per game to offenses. They got that down to like 15. And the Packers only scored, what, 17 against the Bears? And honestly, and I'm not saying this to try to be disparaging, but like that was a lot of the Packers.
A lot of shooting themselves in the foot.
Yes, that's why they didn't put more up.
The Love fumble, like,
100%. The clock miscommunication and mismanagement at the end of the first half. Like,
Matt LaFleur, I am begging you, stop getting cute with the clock. I mean, I understand what they're trying to do there, but once Tucker Kraft ducked inside rather than stepping out of bounds and basically, you know, caused them to have to use their final timeout, from that second, it should have just been, all right, let's line up and kick it.
Yeah.
Because they take a shot to the end zone. That almost gets picked. Yeah. And then they try to get, what, 4 or 5 more yards?
And what does that do?
Well, I understand, like, you're trying to get every yard counts, especially with Carlson being back there. I do not doubt for a moment that that's kind of playing around in your mind. But you've got no timeouts. Anything in the field of play is danger, right? Just line up and kick the field goal. That in the moment, it bugged the hell out of me. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big a deal, but... Yeah, another one I can tease LaFleur about when I talk to him next time. It's just funny to watch this offense, which now I think we're kind of expecting to march up and down the field. You know what I mean? Especially after the performances against the Panthers and then against the Vikings. And the key, now you've got, you know, they put up a ton of yards on the Bears. And a big key is Aaron Jones. And this was the number one rush defense heading into Sunday afternoon.
Couldn't tell.
And no, well, Aaron Jones ripped off 5 yards per carry, 111 yards total. I mean, that you talk about, and we say it pretty much every week that he's involved in the game, but he's just the difference maker. He is the thing that stirs the drink on offense. And Jordan Love is putting up amazing numbers, but I'm not going to say a lot of it, but some of that is because of the fact that they've got a running game finally. You know, year he's been operating without one. And now they've got any play, Aaron Jones could rip off a 20-yard run. And more often than not, he's going to get positive yardage, and he's going to get you ahead of the sticks. You're not going to be in third and long, you know, when Jones is helping you march down the field. And it's just fascinating to watch, because it's one of those things where I intellectually, yes, Aaron Jones is important, but then you forget how important until you see him in action, because we did kind of go without him for so long. To see him back out there just wrecking this Bears rush defense, which is so good. I mean, he's just a special player. Just a special player.
To your point about why you don't realize it when you're not seeing him, that's exactly what I was going to say, where throughout the season without him, you're like, okay, we're figuring it out. Like, A.J. Dillon's doing all right. Like, it's okay. And then you see Jones get into the game and you see how that transforms things, because we've talked about the offensive line at various times throughout the season, and they played pretty well against Chicago again here. Yep. And even those times where they're not playing, or if you might miss a block here, Jones has the ability to still try to make something out of nothing.
He did it last night. Yeah, there was a play in the hole, like in the A-gap, where I think it was, I can't remember who, it was Myers or somebody along the interior. You know, just got beat. You know, it happens. But Jones just did like a jump step. It was like old school, like Tecmo Bowl. You know, like just jump step and off he goes. Like, he gained 5 yards on the play. It's like, yeah, there's an eraser quality to Aaron Jones. Yes. No matter what happens around him, he's going to make something positive happen.
Yeah, and then when you actually give him good blocking, then you're getting 10, 15 yards on a carry. Like, it's crazy. And shout out to Tucker Kraft, because there was one Aaron Jones run in particular where I was watching the play in real time, and I was like, God, I was like, who just set that block? I was like, they just set that edge beautifully. And I was like, it was one of our tight ends, I know. When I saw it back, I was like, it's Tucker Kraft choosing the right defender to block, because there was someone else coming in the interior, but he realized, like, hey, he's already beat. Let me continue out here and continue blocking for Jones. And they got a big gain off of that. And I was just like, there's some impressive stuff happening with these young dudes, and you pair that in with the vet savvy of Aaron Jones and that natural ability, that's a recipe that's hard to stop.
And the other thing that kind of struck me, you talk about the offensive line, you know, Zach Tom goes out that first drive, right? And Nyman comes in and plays right tackle where he hasn't played all year long. And drive doesn't miss a beat. Now, they end up missing the field goal, but as far as like marching down the field, and that's why this whole offseason when people were talking about potentially trading Nyman, I'm like, are you insane? Like, this is the whole reason you don't trade him. So that when you're in a win-or-go-home game and you suffer an injury at tackle, you have a guy who's played a ton of tackle for you. Mm-hmm. And he stepped in and did his job, and then Tom was good to go, and he came back in, and that was it for Nyman for the most part for the rest of the evening. But that's it. Like, that's valuable. I mean, how many times as Packers fans over the years have we had a tackle go down due to injury and everything falls apart on offense? You know, like, the days of coming in, oh gosh, we're okay on first down, but if we get into third down, we're screwed. You know, that those days are gone because they have talent, they have depth, and that was on display in that opening drive. Then we got to flip it around, of course, talk about the defense. Joe Barry in the midst of saving his job.
Give him credit.
you gotta give him credit. No doubt. No question about it. I thought what everyone did so well last night in comparison to kind of those moments, those games where they were struggling up front, they were so disciplined in how they went after Fields. I think the clearest example of that is Devontae Wyatt's sack, where he just, you know, straight up, flat out beats the left guard, right? And you know, if you're the defensive tackle and you finally got a beat, you win a one-on-one and there's the quarterback, right? Your instinct is to just hell bent into the QB, try and lay him on the ground. Wyatt did an excellent job of coming to balance. And it's something that he hasn't done a great job of throughout this season. And the fact that he won the rep, but then came to balance and came under control at Fields and got the sack, that is a mature player right there. That's somebody who's learned, okay, I've made this mistake in the past. I'm going to make sure that I come to balance. I am under control, and I'm going to get the quarterback on the ground. That was really promising to see because I think, like I said, Wyatt, he's had moments, and he's had, I think, a pretty solid season. But if he can take that next step, that's really exciting. But for the whole defensive front, everybody, for the most part, I think there was one play where, Rashawn Gary got sucked inside and did his classic, oh, I'm just going to open the door for him. But outside of that one play, I didn't see an instance where guys weren't being extremely disciplined in their rush and really forced Fields to operate out of the pocket.
Yeah, and it paid off because that's what you want to do to Justin Fields, right? You want to try to keep him in the pocket. You want to try to make him as quarterbacky as possible. That's what you want to do.
Quarterbacky. And
you mentioned Wyatt's sack, which I was like, I was super excited to see that because earlier in the game, there was a situation where he got through, but it just like he just wasn't able to close in that particular moment. So to see him come back around and get that sack in the same game, like we've seen it throughout the season, but in the same game where you're like, there you go, you got yourself one. And he wasn't the only one to get himself one in this game, which made me super excited. Of course, you saw Kenny Clark get a sack.
That's
what you expect. Like this Packers defense looks so much differently when the high paid guys are making high paid plays.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep. 1,000%.
And it opens the door up for everyone else around them. And like you mentioned, like it wasn't just Kenny Clark. It just wasn't Devontae Wyatt. Like Lucas Van Ness had a sack. We saw him get a sack on Fields in week one as well. And here he comes back again. Carl Brooks, Quay Walker, a lot of these young dudes are getting to the quarterback. And also just the pressure that they dialed up as well. And when they dialed it up, I thought was beautiful against the Bears on Sunday as well.
Walker had another one of those Olay rushes where the running back comes up and tries to block him. And he just legit just Olays him, and you know, Fields did a good job of getting out of that one. But yeah, to see Walker get a sack, I'm more of that, please. Like, can we send a couple of different guys from a couple of different places? I'm still waiting on a safety blitz. I mean, we got Keyshawn Nixon in the mix now. Can we get some of these other guys in the mix? But yeah, the fact that they were never really, it didn't ever feel like they weren't in control, literally on both sides of the ball, but the defense never felt like, you know, oh, here we go. Here comes the avalanche of big plays, or they're going to keep picking up first downs. And even in the red zone, they were pretty locked in and they clamped it down really nicely. I was surprised at how much I don't want to say how much man they played, but when they chose to man, which was pretty, not it wasn't a significant amount, but they did a nice job of not just kind of, okay, this is what we're going to do on DJ Moore every single snap of the ball, right? Like there was some, certainly some moments where Jair was traveling with him, but for the most part, they really mixed it up. And I thought that kept the Bears on their toes because you know they want to get the ball to DJ Moore. It's their one real legit playmaker outside of field on offense. And I thought the Packers did a really nice job. I mean, he had four catches on the night. That doubled his output in week one, which was two, you know? So I guess that's improvement on their side. But yeah, the fact that they clearly had a plan for him and they, for the most part, kept him under wraps. It's a feather in Barry's cap, I got to say.
It is. And that's something that we talked about earlier in the season a few weeks ago, just saying like, I want this defense to just switch things up a little bit more. Like you don't have to continuously run the same things over and over, like make it difficult for the opposing quarterback to decipher what they're about to see every time they step up to that line of scrimmage and they're getting ready to call that play, see what checks they have to make and go on from there. And again, I'll give Joe Barry credit where it's due because the defense played well in this game. They played well last week. They played well the week before that. Like, I'll make the jokes. Like, I'm going to crack on you when you do things worth me making fun of, but I'm going to also give you credit where it's deserved. I'm not sure if that was all Joe Barry. I know Matt LaFleur had mentioned, I forget which game it was after, just like, I need to be a little bit more involved with the defense.
After the Buccaneers game. Or no, Buccaneers? After the Panthers game, I think it was.
Yeah, but somewhere in that time, I'm going to be a little bit more involved. Yeah, right. And since then, like, the defense has been playing. I'm not sure if that's Matt LaFleur's influence.
I had the same thought, though. Like, we've seen Quay Walker being sent. We've seen Nixon on delay blitzes, right? Like, none of that, most of that was not happening earlier this season.
Yep.
How did Matt, like, get that involved? Did he say, I want this type of pressure? I want this kind of happening more? I mean, I guess Mac is the only one who can tell us, but sure feels like that, right? Because it's not like it lines up. Matt said, I'm going to be more involved. The defense has looked a bit different. It has been more productive. So, I can't really fault it. I mean, my biggest fear, though, is that Joe does enough to save his job. I can't. Positive thoughts only.
Only positive thoughts today.
No, I can't. I can't.
Only positive.
Okay, then we won't talk about Carlson because that's getting old. And look, I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to give the young man grace, but you keep missing kicks. You keep missing kicks you're supposed to be making. Like, not hard, tough, long 55-yarders. Like, what are considered normal kick, you know, makeable kicks in the NFL? This kid just keeps finding ways to miss it. And now I think on the miss, that first one, the first kick, I do think it's a bad snap, and I think that does affect timing, and it does enter into it. But at some point, you got, like, bad snaps are going to happen. You can't let it throw you to the point where you're sailing the ball left, you know? So I think, you know, there's a very good chance they bring in some competition next summer. But
as they should,
for this year, he's who they got. And I think they're going to continue to be patient.
Developmental year. It was saying for the kicker as well. It's just that at this point in the season, you're hoping that, you know, he's not missing as many kicks anymore. But here we are. We're at a point where now there are Packers fans, of course, saying like, hey, where's Mason Crosby at? And I'm like, I know you, like some of my friends who are calling for Mason back. I'm like, I remember vividly having conversations with you during Mason's down years of get rid of Mason Crosby. Right. And I was like, isn't it funny now in retrospect where you realize actually over the course of his career, how consistent of a kicker he was. I was like, that's not easily done or easily found.
Or like, I remember talking to people last year who were so done with Crosby because he can't kick it into the end zone. He can't hit the long ones anymore. It's like the ball dies in the cold, but blah, 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 all this stuff, all these complaints about Crosby. And now, Packers fans are clamoring for him, but I kind of get it. You know, it's like watching all the misses is frustrating and he is a known commodity, but he can't hit something over 50, let alone like these long ones. So that's not going to happen. But what is going to happen is the Packers are going to march into Dallas or Fort Worth, as it were, man. Come on now. This has got to be a good one for you too. I mean, I know
I'm so excited.
You got connects as far as history with the Cowboys. I'm excited just to watch them beat up on Big Mike. I can't wait.
I mean, I saw it on Twitter. Well, the site formerly known as Twitter at this point.
It's Twitter.
Where there are fans who are like, I don't get why the Cowboys are considered like a Packers rival. And I'm like, oh, Like, it feels like the 90s. We get some 90s rivalries back here. Let's go. I'm super excited for it. Like, I've mentioned my uncle Michael is a Cowboys fan. He before the Packers Bears games, he reached out to me and he was like, I'm not gonna lie, I hope y'all lose because there's a chance for you in the playoffs. He's like, and the way the Cowboys are at times, he was like, I the most embarrassing situation is for the Packers to get in the playoffs, play us, and we lose in Dallas where we haven't lost all season. And I'm like,
it'll happen. Hey, you know who else? I mean, you know who else has never lost in that building? The Green Bay Packers. So I'm just saying. I am fascinated, though, because all the pressure is on the Cowboys.
Yep.
I mean, there was someone last night, I think one of their local TV reporters was listing all the leaders, the offensive and even defensive leaders, like statistically, right? They've got the leading this, the leading that. And I'm like, and it's going to be hilarious when Green Bay, with no Pro Bowlers, walks in there and kicks their butt. Like, I don't think, look, I Dallas is a really good team. I think there's, you know, no doubt that they have gotten to this spot because they deserve it. They have been very, very good at home. Like, I kind of got lucky against the Detroit Lions, but yeah, it's a tough test. But I mean, you talk about being able to play loose and free. The Packers have no worries here. Like, it's all the pressure is on the Cowboys. Think about it. If the Cowboys lose this game, McCarthy's probably fired. Like, that you talk about a pressure cooker of a situation. LaFleur and company, they can just play their game, man. I mean, last year when they played them, they just ran the hell out of the ball with Jones and Dylan. And I hope Dylan's back so they can continue to do that, because they have a really good pass rush. They have really good ability of getting after the quarterback with their athletes, right? But man, everybody's got a plan to get punched in the mouth. And last year, that's what they did. They just kept running the ball and they ran it so they couldn't tee off on Rodgers. And I suspect LaFleur will most likely have this kind of same game plan this time, especially with Aaron Jones back.
Yeah, and we've seen what Aaron Jones can do when you give him the ball as like the workhorse back. Like against Carolina, he's had over 100 yards in the last three games where he's come back. So like, I would definitely, to your point, expect that to continue against Dallas. And like you said as well, like, this is a game where Packers are playing with house money. This is not a situation that most people thought the Packers would end up in. Even in the locker room after the game, they're like, no one thought we would be here but us in this locker room. You're playing free. You're playing loose. You don't have anything to lose. This is experience. Whether the Packers win or lose on Sunday, they have gained playoff experience for the youngest team in the NFL, and I can't wait to continue to watch what they do. But I love the fact that going into Sunday, I believe they have a chance to win, and absolutely, that's all I need. Right?
Yep. Yeah, I know. I saw some doomsayers already last night being, oh, we're going to get smoked. We're going to get run over. I'm like, man, the thing about this 2023 Packers team is they absolutely can lose to anyone, but they can certainly beat anybody. I mean, any team in the league. And that's, you know, to me, that's an exciting proposition. And for the most part this season, they have played to their competition.
Yep.
Like the good teams or the talented teams, they have played at that level. And then the bad teams like the Giants, they've played down to their competition. So, you know, Dallas is a pretty damn good team. I expect we'll see a pretty damn good Packers team going down.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited. All right. Tell the folks where they can find you here on this internet, Camille.
Absolutely. Once a week, you can catch me on the Technical File podcast, TECKNICAL, Technical File. Every Wednesday, we release the episodes. Every Tuesday, we record them live on our YouTube page. We cover NFL, NBA, and pro wrestling news, so make sure you check us out for that. Think of a podcast that's at happy hour. That's Tech File, except we're not drinking. It just feels like we are. Locked On Bucks, you can catch me there Monday through Friday talking all things Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks face the Utah Jazz at home tonight, so Tuesday's episode will be a post-game recap of the Jazz game.
Love it. Absolutely love it. My Bucks. Got to figure out those Pacers, but my Bucks. Love them. Love them. Well, they'll be there in the playoffs. I can't wait. That's going to be fun. Like, that's me with the NBA right now. Like, I'll pay attention when the playoffs come around. That's good. I can't wait. Camille, thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.